Today on the Dark Side of the News, Alex Murdaugh charged with taking insurance money in the maid's death. What really happened the night Alex was allegedly shot? The alleged gunman speaks, and Alex is now a person of interest in the June murders of wife and son. According to his lawyer, it's all Alex Murdaugh today on the Dark Side of.
Sometimes the human mind goes to dark places. Sometimes those dark delusions turn into a reality. A reality so shaded and gray, once all is said and done, the healthy mind is drawn into the documented retelling of these tragic events, trying to find logic, reason, and understanding where there may be none at all. This is the Dark Side of.
That it is. Welcome to the Alex Murdaugh. I think we're like on volume number 3 now of this story edition of the program. If you like the show, be sure to check us out on Patreon. Support the show. You'll get advanced episodes of the show, all of it commercial free. There's bonus segments out there, all sorts of extras for you. And that helps keep us going. Patreon.com, just search Dark Side of, or go to darksidepod.com. And thank you in advance for that. Tony and Carol with you on this episode. It just keeps getting darker and darker for Mr. Murdaugh. And I should note, this is being recorded on the 14th of October. So if you're listening to it after, obviously this is a very moving case.
Right. It could all change again tomorrow.
Exactly.
And it's just, because you kind of, I have to be honest, like we've discussed this in depth. So what we're going to discuss today isn't like out of left field.
No.
This kind of is something that you could definitely see coming.
I mean, we talked about it the other day and we said this is where it's going to go. That's where it went. But I'm just trying to, like, as I'm always, and you are too, trying to figure out, like, how is someone thinking this way? And the answer is always, we're never going to get it because we don't think that way. But is there a trigger, like, once you do something really shitty? Because a lot of these people, it's like, turns out they did this. And oh my God, they did that. Oh, and they did that too. It's like once you did your first absolute horrible, horrible, shitty, shitty, shitty thing, that you're just kind of like, well, I'm capable of doing that. And like your bar is just so lowered. It's like, well, killed the housekeeper, got insurance money. Maybe you could try this. It's not as bad as what I did over there. So I guess that makes it okay. I mean, is that how it goes? Where like you just lower your bar so low on something?
I don't know, because you and I don't think like that. But I have the hunch, after watching 1 million shows on Discovery ID.
Uh-huh.
I think that some people, they don't even think like that. You and I are giving it a compassionate, like, God, that would be really hard to do the first time. And then you kind of could rationalize it more the second, third, fourth, fifth time. But I kind of think those people, and especially this guy, I don't think he has any sort of, like, I just don't think he's got that compassion like you and I would.
Yeah.
And that we would care.
It's sociopath.
I think he's very self-motivated, and whatever makes him happy in that moment, or I need more money for more drugs, and this is what I got to do.
He sounds like a sociopath addict, and that's probably what he was or is.
Yeah.
Where it's the behavior of an addict combined with the lack of remorse or judgment from a sociopath.
And I was reading the article today about it, and I'm like, I even question a little bit of this addiction thing.
Yeah.
Because it's pretty convenient.
But a lot of people...
Like, oh, by the way, I'm an addict. But I'm like, you've spent way too much money. Like, the amount of drugs that he would spend with that, I don't even think he can consume, along with 10 of his buddies. Like, he took millions of dollars from his law firm.
Yeah.
Millions. He took... Well, and we'll get into this with the maid's death. And, you know, it just... And he was making his own money.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure he had a lot of other bills, but I'm like, is it kind of convenient that, oh, poor me, this is the reason I'm doing all these horrible things? I'm an addict.
The thing is, it's not only him who's saying that, though. There's a lot of people involved in this whole circle where they're like recalling him. And a lot of them are like, he's an addict, like without a doubt, with the way his behavior is, he's definitely an addict. And
I can see him having a drug problem.
Yeah. And so
I think for the amount of money he's stolen and gotten and made, I think it's a addiction and.
Yeah, definitely. Else. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
I think the addiction is a convenient excuse.
Yeah. And it just, it adds another layer of to what a shitty thing that's this person, is doing and blaming it on something that, I think it goes beyond the addiction, though, too. I think either.
And you might be right about him, I'm committing this crime and then it gets easier. And in his head, well, I'm an addict, so that's why I'm doing all this. And maybe that's the excuse he tells himself.
Again, we're trying to think of this from a rational perspective. I don't think there's just even anything being said there. I don't think there's even we're trying to fill in the blank. There is no blank with that sort of thinking. It's just that's what we're doing. That's the operation at hand. Next. And there's no wait, should I? It's just execute. And I'm not trying to make a pun there, but yeah.
Literally,
yeah. I mean, in this case, it was. Let's get into the story here. It's from People. Alex Murdaugh has been arrested and charged with misappropriating insurance settlement funds in the wrongful death suit that followed the mysterious trip and fall death of his longtime housekeeper, Gloria Statterfield, authorities announced. On Thursday morning, agents with the South Carolina Law Enforcement Division and the Florida Department of Law Enforcement took the longtime attorney, 52, into custody as he left a drug rehabilitation facility in Orlando, Florida. He's charged with two felony counts of obtaining property by false pretenses. These charges stem from a SLEAED investigation into misappropriated settlement funds in the death of Gloria Statterfield, the release says. Statterfield worked as a housekeeper for the Murdaugh family for years. She died in their home in 2018, purportedly after an accident. Her sons filed a wrongful death lawsuit, allegedly at Murdaugh's suggestion, the son's attorney, Eric Bland, says. But they never saw a dime of it, Bland said. Murdaugh had been taken to the Orange County Corrections, where he will be held until he receives an extradition hearing. Upon extradition being granted or waived, he will be brought back to South Carolina to receive a bond hearing. In September, the sons reached a settlement with Corey Fleming, a lawyer who had represented them, but whom they had accused of withholding money from them, according to Bland and his partner, Ronnie Richter. In September, an agreement between the estate of Gloria Statterfield, attorney Corey Fleming, his law firm Moss, Kuhn, and Fleming, and their insurance carrier was reached in connection with the pending lawsuit, attorneys Eric Bland and Ronnie Richter said in a statement obtained by People. Mr. Fleming and his firm agreed that the estate will be paid back all legal fees and expenses Mr. Fleming and his law firm received from the $4 million they received from the estate in connection with the claims asserted against Alex Murdaugh for the death of Gloria Statterfield, Bland and Richter said. In addition, their malpractice insurance carrier agreed to pay to the estate their full policy limits of insurance, Bland and Richter said. Mr. Fleming stepped forward and did the right thing by the estate. Mr. Fleming and his law firm maintained they, like others, were victims of Alex Murdaugh's fraudulent scheme. A more comprehensive joint statement from Mr. Fleming, his firm, and the Statterfield estate will be issued later this week. Murdaugh's lawyers, Dick Harptalin and Jim Griffin, released a statement Thursday about their client's arrest, confirming the charges and saying Alex intends to fully cooperate with the investigation, as he has with the investigation into the murder of his wife and son. He deeply regrets that his actions have distracted from the efforts to solve their murders. I'm just trying to understand how he got the money. So he told them, sue me, and then they sued, and then the insurance would pay him out because he has to pay on the judgment at him. And they don't pay directly, I'm guessing. And so he just cashed the check.
That, I sent you had a little bit more information about that.
Okay.
Because that's where he had his friend. So it was kind of like his friend was representing them.
Okay.
And now I'm wondering if the friend isn't going to end up arrested too. Because...
kind of a scheme. Like, so hey,
my guess is it's a homeowner's insurance sort of policy.
Yeah.
And because what I read, they had agreed... they told the Suns that the policy paid out $500 and it paid out way more than that.
Okay.
So my guess is him and this, I don't know, his friend, each got a cut of that.
I'm looking up the one you had sent me.
I know, because I find this stuff throughout the day. I'm like, yeah. What the hell? What is this?
Murdaugh told Statterfield Suns in February 2018, a funeral, that he would get insurance statements, settlements for her death, and take care of them. According to a lawsuit filed by the Suns, Murdaugh managed to secure more than $4 million from his insurers, but he only told the Suns that they got $500,000 in settlements and just never sent them a dime, the lawsuit says. So he says, like, a significant amount of money, but then doesn't even pay that out. That's just a fraction of what he got.
He could have given them the $500,000. They would have never known any better.
Yeah.
They would have thought this lawyer well represented them. Yeah. They would have thought everything was on the up and up.
Yeah.
But then they get like $4 million on top of that.
Murdaugh took the settlement money by creating a fraudulent bank account with a name similar to a legal consulting firm that handles settlements, the lawsuit said. Satterfield's family called it a bittersweet day in a statement released by the attorneys. The thing is, though, I mean, okay, that's great, but is the money even there anymore?
I don't think so. And I have to kind of wonder, with the amount of money he's burning through,
yeah,
if there's not a gambling addiction or something else going on. I don't doubt he's got a drug addiction.
Yeah.
But it's just a lot of money.
The Suns also took Murdaugh's advice to hire attorney Corey Fleming to be executor of their mother's estate. Without telling them, Fleming was a longtime friend, old college roommate, and godfather to at least one of the Murdaugh's sons.
Right?
The law licenses of both Fleming and Murdaugh have been suspended as the investigations continue. So there you go. There has been some retribution to the attorneys that were shady in this whole thing.
So it just makes me think that, because obviously with that connection,
yeah,
they were in cahoots together.
Yeah, it was like, hey, bud, like old boys club bullshit, where it was, you know, hey, buddy, I need this done like that. Can you do it? Yeah, okay. You know, I owe you one from the golf course. You know, it's shit like that.
Or in this one, I got $1 million in it for you.
Yeah.
Because where did that money go?
Exactly. You know, they got a yacht for you over here. If you do that, you know, some shit like that. Should be interesting.
Crazy.
That's going to be the new layer in a week or so. We're going to find out, well, how did this happen with them, and what sort of, bribes maybe were had, allegedly were had. That's my prediction on where that part goes. I wonder if there's any more death. I wonder if there's other deaths that are going to be kind of figured out here too.
Well, I think this whole deal with the son and the drunken boating accident is going to come back to haunt him as well.
Yeah.
Because, and I think it was in that article, there was something about it that, like, he was trying to pin the blame on someone else, not his son.
Yeah.
When it was his son. And so I even think there's some shady shit that happened with that.
I think what people should be looking at here, if you want to go down the rabbit hole a little bit, is the cases that he's handled over the course of his career and any mysterious deaths that seem to benefit his client around any of those sort of things. You know, things that look like accidents, things that look, you know, never really, you know, attributed, but could, you know, in some way influence, the case itself. I think that should be looked into, because this guy is clearly capable of pretty much anything, and he's not dumb. For the most part, it seems like was able to get away with quite a bit for quite a long time. So I'm wondering what else, you know. I think he kind of got sloppy at the end here, but I think
Maybe that's when the dragon
maybe
really
yeah
took hold.
But you know, but still fairly slick. So I'd be very curious as to how slick he was prior to the drugs, and that taking its toll, because that's where I'm like, I wonder that whole, you know, legal career, if there was, there's other shit that, you know, to benefit him, somebody dies or, you know, somebody's going to testify, you know, I don't know.
I just have the feeling this isn't it. You don't.
It's going to be a string of shit.
I know. I like the deal with his son, as much as I hate to say this, that doesn't surprise me.
No.
I think there are a lot of people who will cover up some really bad shit their kids did.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my sister was on the school board of a small town school system.
Yeah.
And I don't want to go into any details about that, but there were some things kids did that were really bad.
Mm-hmm.
And their parents got up there and acted like, or they tried to take the blame themselves or something. Like, they just tried to cover it up for their kids. It's like, you can't do that.
No.
So that's why I can almost see he's a lawyer. He's going to do some shady shit trying to get his kid off the hook.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a lot of parents who would do that. I don't think it's right. But that one I almost understand. Then it just goes crazy, though.
Completely. There's that thing where people just... they'll do anything. I mean, literally anything, you know, for their kids. And in that, doing that act for your kid is not helping your kid. It's you have to let them face their consequences for their actions. That's the only way they're going to learn. If you try and step in the way of that, it will be found out, and they're not going to learn shit. And you may not be there then the next time to stand out in front of the train or push them out of the way. When they're going and doing that, it just is what it is. People have to learn from their mistakes, and that's an incredibly hard thing to do as a parent.
It would be horrible,
but you know, especially if something of that gravity. But you know, that's why, you know, sometimes, you know, you trip, you fall when you're a kid. It's okay. Let's keep going. We got this. It's not, you know,
get up.
You know, you don't sit there for, oh, my poor thing. Are you gonna? How does it emotionally affect you? You tripped. You're going to trip throughout the rest of your life. Deal with it and move on quickly, because it doesn't have to be an emotional ordeal with every single thing. And that's something where I think we, a generation or a good chunk of a generation, parented one way and another did the other. And that's how you kind of get this kind of state of things.
But they say in that article that he is a suspect, or they are looking into him and the deaths of his wife and son.
They are. Yeah. In fact, yeah, that's the next thing we're going to talk about here. Let me pull that up. And here's what I found interesting about this was, you mean he's not already a person of interest? But they're just now officially saying Alex Murdaugh is a person of interest in the June murders of wife and son, his lawyer said. I guess I always just kind of assumed he already was. Alex Murdaugh, the one-time prominent South Carolina attorney who was arrested on Thursday for allegedly stealing more than $4 million from his late housekeeper's insurance settlement, is a person of interest in the double homicide of his wife and son. In an interview with Fox Carolina News, his attorney, Jim Griffin, confirmed Murdaugh is under scrutiny in the murder case. South Carolina Law Enforcement Division said that he has said from the get-go that Alex was a person of interest, Griffin told the station. Alex's wife, Maggie Murdaugh, and the couple's younger son, Paul, were fatally shot outside the family home on June 7th. Alex returned to the family property shortly after 10 p.m. and called 911 to report discovering the bodies. Authorities have not identified motive or a suspect in the killings, and no one has been arrested, and authorities are giving scant information about the case, except that Maggie and Paul were shot with two different firearms. Although Alex is a person of interest, his attorney insisted to Fox Carolina that his client was visiting his mother, who has dementia, at the time of the murders. He has no motive to kill them, Griffin told the station. You'd think if Alex was the one who did it, the SLED would have been there, able to establish that pretty easily that night, Griffin continued. You'd think they would have searched his house and found blood somewhere. You'd think they would have found the murder weapons on the property. You would think they would come up with something to link Alex to the murders forensically or independent evidence. To my knowledge, they have not done that. While authorities continue to investigate Paul and Maggie's death, things are still dire for Alex Murdaugh. Since the murders in June, he's been fired from his job at his family's law firm, accused of embezzlement, shot in the head, gone to rehab for substance abuse, and arrested twice. Before his Thursday arrest, he had been accused of hiring a hitman to help him commit suicide so his surviving son could cash in on a $10 million life insurance policy. He was charged with insurance fraud and filing a false police report. He has not entered a plea in the case. On Thursday, he was charged with the two felony accounts of obtaining property and by false pretenses. Authorities allege that his insurance paid out $4.3 million in the wrongful death suit that followed the mysterious trip and fall death of his longtime housekeeper. So, there you go. They're really looking at him close now. I guess.
Well, I'd like to call bullshit, please.
On what?
On the whole thing his lawyer was saying about, well, they would have found the weapons or they would have found blood on him. Or they, okay, the murders happened outside.
Yeah.
You're the only one around. So, like I said earlier, I watch enough shows that I don't think I could murder anybody. But, like, you know how they do it. Like, you would go change your clothes. You would get rid of the murder weapon. You've got time to do all that. You wouldn't have even gone in your house with blood on your clothes.
No.
Like, that's just ridiculous.
You're not going
like,
to OJ
that shit. That's a
sign
of his innocence that you can't find guilty evidence laying around his house. What murderer goes, like especially a guy like him.
Yeah.
He thinks about this shit because I think he had something to do with the housekeeper, but that's just me. But so you're going to murder them and you use two different weapons because that'll throw them. And then you're out in the middle of nowhere. You could easily jump in your car and God, there's a million places to dispose of guns or whatever weapons.
Mm-hmm.
You change your clothes. You shot him. It's not like you're going to have blood all over you anyway. You know, you could have cleaned your hands with of the gun residue.
Yeah, I mean, there's a thousand ways that it's
but that's evidence of him being innocent?
Yeah.
That's bullshit.
He was visiting, what, his mother or something?
Who has dementia. So
yeah,
she remembered him coming over? I'm assuming she lives in some kind of nursing facility.
Let's check the camera.
What's that?
I said, let's check the camera if that's the case.
Right?
Although I'm sure wherever he was, there was no camera. You know, I'm sure he thought
about
that.
And so the two people are murdered outside. And so you can't be precise on what time. There would be maybe, I would guess, a 2 to 3 hour time period.
Mm-hmm.
He could have gone to visit her.
Yeah.
And he could have gone home and murdered his wife and son and gotten rid of the guns and changed his clothes. I don't think that's a stretch.
Here's a one I'm wondering if we're going to see this twist coming. The thoughts, yeah. Okay, so we're talking about different crimes here. The crime with the housekeeper, that's one.
That's one.
The child or his wife and son dying, that's a crime.
Two, three,
and yeah, and the boat accident thing. There's something going on over there. All these things. These are
The multi-millions of dollars he stole from his law firm.
Yeah, the law firm. Okay, so there's all these things in his world that are pretty, that we're aware of. These are just the things we're aware of.
Right.
So here's where I'm going to go off on a different path. The stuff we're not aware of that he's capable of doing or manipulating or hurting, or was there someone that he really screwed over bad somewhere in the other part of his world that they weren't going to make it public that he did it because maybe there's something very embarrassing about whatever, but somebody that he fucked over somewhere else and their revenge was killing his family.
It could be.
And maybe.
I mean, he was a lawyer.
I mean, maybe he really had nothing to do, honestly, with the killing of his family. But I'm wondering if, you know, there's a whole other thing over there that we're going to find out about, like, and he did this to this person. So in revenge, they did that to him. And then maybe he really legitimately was trying to commit suicide, but his gunman was just a total clusterfuck.
No, but then the gunman came out and said some stuff. And that kind of makes some sense.
And I got that here. We're going to go listen to this. This is the interview and the NBC piece that Craig Melvin did with Today This Morning. And here's some of the audio from that.
Alec Murdaugh has been surrounded by a series of mysterious tragedies this year, starting with the double murder of his wife and son this summer. New this morning, one of Murdaugh's attorneys says that authorities consider Alec a person of interest in that case in an interview with Fox Carolina News, though his attorneys continue to deny he had any involvement in the murders. In September, adding to the mystery, Murdaugh said he was shot in the head on a rural road. Law enforcement now believes Murdaugh conspired with Curtis Eddie Smith to kill him as part of an insurance fraud scheme.
To be clear, does your client maintain utter and complete innocence in this case?
Go ahead.
I didn't shoot him.
Are you innocent of everything?
I'm innocent. If I'd have shot him, he'd have been dead. He's alive.
Smith.
His attorney almost looks like he might be the bartender at the Hooters. As well. It's like, go ahead. You tell him whatever you want, you know? Go ahead, just let it roll, let it rip. Or it could be Kenny Powers. Let's keep listening.
Now telling his side of the story. Smith tells me he had no idea what Murdaugh's plans were when he agreed to meet a man he called his close friend on a remote road in Hampton County, South Carolina. He says Murdaugh showed up with a gun.
He's standing like this. He said, "You gonna shoot me?" I said, "No." He said, "We just got to do it." And he made his move like this, you know. And I just grabbed his arm.
You took the gun.
Shoved it behind him, between me and him. And it went off.
The gun went off. Did it hit him? Did the bullet hit him?
No.
So that story
there's
where
no
he got.
No blood on me. There's no blood on him.
He didn't get shot in the head.
No. We bounced off his car and kind of made a move to get the gun, and he hit the dirt, you know. And
what percent are you positive that he didn't get shot? If you could put a percentage on it.
1,000.
He didn't get shot.
Murdaugh's lawyers declined to comment. They've maintained their client suffered a head wound. The Hampton County Sheriff's incident report initially said Murdaugh did not have any visible injury, but a corrected version released shortly after says there was a visible injury. Murdaugh's lawyers say Smith took advantage of a man in the throes of a decades-long opioid addiction who was grieving the unsolved murders of his wife and son. They claim Murdaugh wanted to end his life so his surviving son could collect on a $10 million life insurance policy.
There you go. That's Craig Melvin and NBC News on that reporting. That's a new twist. So the way it sounds is he really wasn't a hitman at all. It was just kind of like, hey, I know you got these problems. Let's go over here. Surprise, I got a gun. You need to shoot me.
And because we talked about that last week or sometime, because I said it makes no sense. If you got hired as a hitman and you're willing to shoot him in the head, you would shoot him again so he'd be dead.
So he was, he wasn't even, it was like, surprise, maybe this guy who's all drugged up will do it.
Right.
Oh, God.
The whole thing is so weird.
This is where I think Alex got really sloppy. I think he's been on a spree of crazy shit his whole life. I just think at the end his own addictions got the best of him, and it started to get really sloppy. And that's what got him caught, honestly.
And the other thing that bugs me about all this, that I call bullshit again.
Yeah.
But I can't figure out the motive, like why this whole hiring somebody to shoot him so his son would get the $10 million. Mm-hmm. There's something else to that story because that makes no sense. This is a guy who has zero compassion for anybody. If anything, he'd figure out how to fake his own death so his son could get the money. Like, Truly, I watched too many crime shows. But how his son could get the money, and then he could somehow get part of the money from him. He's not a compassionate, caring person.
Yeah.
Why would all of a sudden he's super compassionate and I'm going to, like, and then in that case, like, be in a car accident.
Yeah.
Like, stage your own car wreck. I think you could do that pretty easily.
Or just go missing and then, you know, wait it out for however long till they can declare you dead. And
yeah, there's a whole podcast that I've been listening to of people who've done that.
What's scary, like, about all of this is the fact that now everyone has like these crazy strategies in their mind on like how to like conduct crimes, essentially, because we've unpacked all of these horrible crimes that people have done. And in the past, you'd be like, maybe you'd like read about it, like, or just get the gist of like so-and-so killed so-and-so, but you never heard like the whole, like, you know, pathology of the crime. And now everybody has these things, and it's really scary because it's like, shit, like, is this like just kind of the baseline for where crimes are going to be now? And they're going to get like 10 times more twisted because everybody's like, I've seen that before. And then this happens over there. Of course, that's what happens. And like,
and a couple years ago,
you'd be like, what?
Because there's people like me who literally, like, I found a cricket in my house the other day. I scooped it up in a plastic container. I took it outside because that's who I am. Mm-hmm. But I can also sit here and tell you like how you could get rid of all the evidence of your murder.
I guess this was kind of funny about all of it.
It's kind of fucked up.
I think a lot of people who watch the true crime stuff are probably not the people who would do the true crime stuff.
But we know how to cover it up.
You'd be the best source though of information. So it's more like, if you're known as like the true crime person in your circle of friends, and then your kind of shady friend starts coming to you asking you about some of the shows you're watching and asking for advice, look the fuck out.
And I think that I would, now that said, I have been taken advantage of more than one time in my life, but you know, now I think I'm way more suspicious of people. And I don't know if it's because I watch too much crime TV and podcasts and stuff, but mm-hmm. I mean, like, look what we're doing right now. But we kind of dive into it ourselves.
Yeah.
But I just think I'm more suspicious of stuff. And like, but to me, why would this guy who has stolen all this money from his own family law firm and done all this horrible stuff already that we know of, he's not a good guy. Mm-hmm. Be like, man, if I could just have somebody murder me, I could leave my son $10 million.
It's totally out of character.
Right?
I think there was maybe an intent of, I don't know. I mean, because you can't even stage your death. I mean, you have to like, what's the point of the getting shot? I mean, if you're still going to be alive, that's the part that doesn't make sense.
Well, to me, what would make sense if there's some kind of story like him and the guy wrestling for the gun and he's trying to explain off some stuff.
Yeah.
Like, because the guy, like, he's like, I drove off. He was not shot in the head.
Yeah.
Like, he acts like he just came up on him and the guy's like pulled over. He's like, hey, I think they knew each other, but like, what's up? You need some help?
Yeah. Does insurance pay out on suicide?
No, I do not believe it does.
So he couldn't have like written a note or something and didn't disappeared. What he would have had to have done is more like a kidnapping. And
the disappearance comes in. Because like I was watching, it's a British podcast I was listening to. But now this was a while ago and maybe things are different. I have no idea. I've never tried to stage my own death. But, you know, would just start over in a different life. And then after a certain amount of time, the spouse was like, well, obviously he's not coming back.
Yeah.
He's dead somewhere. They get the death certificate. And then once they get that, I think they were able to get benefits.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know. I think, you know, policies are different. And I mean, I don't know.
I think you'd wait till like there's a way to declare them legally dead and then you could get it. It probably would take some time. And maybe that's...
But if you're the spouse, I mean, you got a lot of shit to deal with. Yeah, it's like, my God, he disappeared. I mean, because that would be horrific. Yeah. Like, having a loved one, you know, die is horrible enough. Murdered would be a whole nother level. And then that disappearing thing would be...
Yeah. Being on that airplane that that came into a different time period. What was that TV show? The
Manifest.
Or what? Yeah, yeah.
I was so over that show. I'm like, just frickin' tell us something. I watched it for an entire season. It got down to the finale.
Harper watches it all the time.
I don't care. I decided I didn't care.
Did they ever like explain anything, or is it just?
I have no idea, because I seriously, the last episode of the first season, I decided I didn't care.
I'm
done. I'm done. I've wasted all these hours. I'm done.
Probably just about to get into the information too.
And it was just like the same episode, just different kind of dialogue.
Really?
Yes. I was over it. Now, maybe I know people, it ended up on Netflix or something. Mm-hmm. And maybe people really like it. And they're right now going, she don't know what the hell she's talking about. That's fine. We can disagree.
I'm watching Midnight Mass right now on Netflix. And
that's good.
It is. There's some just weird parts to it. Like there's a lot of this produced perfectly. And then every once in a while, you get like an extra actor, not like the main characters, but like the person who's going to do like a quick little spot here, a quick little spot there, with absolute horrible acting skills. And it just
And
it throws you. And it's like, what the fuck? Like, that's like acting like I would have seen like on like a B horror movie.
Can't.
And everybody else is the scene looks good. The other actors are performing perfectly. But then all of a sudden it's like, whoa, that's, you know, it's like, yeah, like a record scratch or something. And, you know, the scene's still kind of going.
And there
it's like,
are so many incredible actors out there that would love to have that opportunity.
I know. There's a couple on there. I'm just kind of like, whoa.
No excuse for that shit.
Whoa, that just kind of derails it, especially when you're in a drama.
Whoa, it just turned into Hallmark movie acting.
It did. What? There's a couple moments where it's like, this is not. And then all of a sudden, boom, you're back. So it's kind of jolting that way. But overall, it seems to be interesting. I'm going to give it more of a. I just finished the first episode. I'm going to give it more of a chance.
Let me know.
But yeah, hopefully maybe it gets a little bit better. Maybe it was like being filmed during COVID, and they're like, when we're going through Starbucks in the morning, let's ask the baristas if they can come play extra parts.
We're all going to stand 6 feet apart. Don't worry about that.
I mean, that's what I kind of wonder about. I've noticed a lot of television shows right now where there's excessive use of Skyping and Zooming with other cast members where it's like, oh, they're not here today. They're over there. So we're going to Skype. Yeah. And it's like everybody's Zooming and Skyping, but they're not in COVID during the show. It's just like, oh, well, so-and-so couldn't be here for the show, so we wrote them in, but they're on Skype.
You know? No, because really, so-and-so was exposed to the coronavirus and can't come into work, and we need that person
exactly
to put in the scene.
Yeah, there's been a lot of that. I thought that was kind of interesting. So anyway, that's going to wrap up our latest Alex Murdaugh update for you here on The Dark Side of. We'll see where it leads to in the following weeks. Who knows? Maybe we'll have enough for another update next week. If you like the show, keep us on the air and become a Darksider. Go to darksidepod.com. It's darksidepod.com. Or use the Patreon app and search Darkside of. $5 a month gets you access to advanced episodes of the show. Extras, all commercial free. Binge away. Archive, it's all there. We greatly appreciate that support. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to The Dark Side of.